When the gods wish to punish us, they answer our prayers. Written and read by Cassandra Leeds. Sam prays, but it's not in words. He takes what's inside, messy and jumbled anger, hope, and despair, and wraps it up into one condensed sense, one message of what he is in that moment and what he wants for himself and everyone else. He sends it out in a wave, pushes it out into space, and hopes someone somewhere is listening, answer or no. Tonight, though, this is not enough. When Dean leaves to go out for a drink, Sam finds himself alone in the darkening hotel room, his anger breaking through into words. One name repeated over and over with soft rage until he can imagine he actually hates it. Whatever this is can't find a place to escape. What is he supposed to do with the words from Castiel earlier? He wants to let it go. He wants to forget about it. But somehow the whole drive back with Dean, job now done, it's all he could think about. Castiel and Dean's more profound bond. It's a slap in the face. He saved the world as much as Dean did. Hell, he sacrificed himself. He gave up everything. And now Dean doesn't trust him like he used to. And Castiel? Who is Sam to him anyway? Just the boy with the demon blood. The abomination. Angels don't change their minds. Sam should have figured this out long ago. They don't change, no matter how you try to prove yourself. They're just what they are. Sam resists looking around him for something close by to throw because he wants to see something break, but instead he says the name again and pushes every bitter breath he can into it. He feels like he could fly apart in the dark and into nothing. He feels like he's nothing but his heartbeat pounding through his veins and shaping him into a body cloaked in fading light. Just as darkness has almost completely bought the room, inked the wallpaper and night, made it something like a sanctuary or a tomb, Sam gets up from the chair he's been sitting in for half an hour at least, and is about to go to the lamp to shine light on this mood and pull himself out of it, but that's when he hears a shift of fabric not 6 feet away. Looking up, Sam's gaze falls on the back of Castiel's coat. You called me. It's dark, too dark to see much of him, but that voice brushes up and down Sam and leaves him breathless. The room suddenly feels too full, as if it can't contain this presence. But Sam's felt this way before with him, when Cass would come out of nowhere, and even before Sam would see him or Dean would say Castiel's name, Sam would feel something in his chest aching and singing, shining like a beacon. Right now it feels like he could be blown back against a wall if he relaxed his stance and gave in. And yet at the same time, if he doesn't focus on the sensation, it's hardly there at all. Castiel turns and faces him. Caught you at a good time? Sam sneers. Castiel doesn't answer at first, but Sam can feel Cass considering him. What is it, Sam? And it's his name that does it. It's too much. He wants it too much. Sam is on him like a summer afternoon in Virginia, humid and hot and violent. His breath is bursting over the side of Castiel's head as he holds his neck in a vice grip from behind. Castiel barely pushes back as Sam propels them forward and Castiel against the wall. He hardly resists at all, and Sam wants to beat him black and blue for it. The gesture is a statement all its own. For all your strength, if I wanted to, I could crush you. I could turn you into nothingness. I could, but I'm not. And that makes me stronger than you in more ways than one. Sam's fists bunch into Cass's clothes to feel the soft flesh underneath. Wonders if he really could leave bruises on this body. All those months I was praying. I was alone. Sam, I have explained this. But for Dean... Oh, that's right. Sarcasm as Sam breathes out words bitten off but still sharp as knives. More profound bond. There's a moment where Sam can sense Castiel taking this all in, and Sam is disgusted with how jealous it all sounds. You think you and I have a comparable relationship? Castiel's voice is level, professional, even with the slight smile Sam can hear in it. Sam shoves him against the wall again with his body, pulls Castiel's head back by the hair, making that length of neck a tight and strong line, and moving his other hand down to Castiel's hip, he feels a brief tremor run through him under his hand. I should think you would care a little more than keeping me on hold for a year, Sam says, but it doesn't matter now, does it? You're here now. You came when I called this time. I did. Why? Castiel says nothing, but his breath has a small quiver to it, a subtle weakness. Sam drinks up. He moves his arm so he can hold Cass around the neck again, presses his hand to the skin there where he can feel breath and blood flowing beneath his fingers, feels the fresh sharpness of stubble, the prickling of sweat, the pulse of life underneath, all scarily human, more real than he ever imagined. Sam is seething and singing inside all at once because Castiel is breaking under him, but not enough. It's not enough. He wants to see this human body fall apart with want. He wants to be the first to break him. And with the startled sound Castiel makes when he presses his lips to the soft skin under his ear, Sam realizes just how far he's pushed him already. How far gone he is now. How lost Castiel is. It's stupefying. It's dangerous and terrifyingly all-consuming. You want me. It sounds surprised when Sam says it aloud, and then he laughs. You were scared to come back because of this right here. That's it, isn't it? He licks a shining line up Castiel's neck, tastes a flavor there on his tongue unlike anything he's ever known, ancient and fragrant like frankincense, but bitter too, and dry. When he inhales, Castiel's scent, subtle and alluring as a half-heard harmonious phrase, reaches inside him and purchases something. You think one man, a man who nearly destroyed the whole earth no less, would be anything for me to trouble myself over? But Sam is hearing the wavering in every word now, and it feels like he's already won, even if all of it is throwing him off balance because now he can't tell where the control stops and the desire starts, whether he wants this or he wants Cass. Dean is one man. You troubled yourself for him. Sam is breathing deep, face in Castiel's dark hair. God, Castiel smells incredible. Envy is a deadly sin for a reason, Castiel says, but sucks in his breath as Sam's hand moves around to push through his coat, fumble with his belt. Sam. He's finally got his hands against the cool skin of Castiel's stomach, his hand pushed in between the parting of Cass's untucked shirt and moving down to tease under his waistband where it's warmer. You've... Sam works at the hook on Cass's pants. Do you know where I've been, Cass? It's a whisper, but it cuts through the dark, and he feels Cass shy away from him as sure as if his words were a tangible blade. Do you know what I've seen? What I can do? Castiel stills as Sam's hand moves down, finds its way inside, and finally touches around him, almost tenderly, and then grips strong around already hardening flesh. Castiel lets out a small breath and tenses, lowering his head. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like now, Cass. You have no idea. There's a shake to his own words now. He's trembling as he works Cass in his palm, pulling one small huff of breath out of him after another. Sam's not scared of what he's doing, or what he could do, though the tremor may make him sound so. He isn't the off-balanced man he seems in this moment, thrown into action. Not right now. The words bring him back to who he is, and he's calm. He's sure. If anything, that should be what scares him, but it's just what it is. Cass makes a small sound, like the tail end of a quiet sob, and Sam works his grip around Castiel's cock and strokes slow, feels the smallest jerk of hip. Sam smiles to himself. He'd never planned anything like this, but it's sweeter than any fantasy he's ever had, and it's real. This is Castiel. This is Cass, and he's going to do this to him. He's going to be the one to drive this sublime creature to beg for release, and he's ready for it. And it should upset him how much he wants this out of nowhere. It should be enough to make him think twice. It should feel wrong, but it doesn't. Castiel stutters, I told you. But Sam speeds up the stroke of his hand over Castiel's cock, and Cass makes a strained and desperate sound as he sways forward, Sam pulling him close back against him and rubbing his own ache against Cass. You feel like talking right now, Cass? Sam breathes and then moans through his teeth as he feels Cass shudder, feels his fist slick wet with a hot pulse of precum. God, you're dying for it. Castiel shakes his head slightly, but it's not defensive. Sam can't tell what it means. Just that Castiel seems to be beyond defending himself in any way Sam would have expected. He's tensing and, God, Sam can feel him sweating, the salty taste of it smeared on his own cheek from Cass's neck. He licks it out from the corner of his mouth. Sam lets go of Castiel, lets go of his cock, even as Castiel lets out a choked sound. He pulls Castiel's trench off and down his shoulders along with his coat and tugs Cass's arms out of the sleeves. And Castiel just lets him, back turned. Sam runs his hands over the back of Castiel's shirt, feels the fabric picking sweat up off moist skin as Castiel's breathing softly hitches and his shoulders barely quake. He wonders, how does that feel? Castiel doesn't respond at all, and for a moment Sam wonders if he didn't hear him. He watches his own fingers move up to the back of his neck, where the hairs are softest, and then trace back down and around to Cass's front, where he works to undo one button and then another, opens the shirt completely, and then lets his hands travel over the new terrain. He touches softly over the smooth expanse of Castiel's chest, the soft flatness of his stomach, hot and responsive, every touch throwing Cass somewhere new and unknown, and Sam is intoxicated with it. It's not yours, Sam says, about the skin under his fingers. Does it feel like mine? He wants to ask as he reaches down where Castiel's cock is dripping, holds it in a sure grip, and pumps, and Castiel crumples back into him. It's too much, Sam, he grits out. It's too much. But Sam is already pushing down Castiel's pants, fumbling with his own jeans, and messily spitting into his hand as Castiel bucks into his fist and then back into him and keens. Sam places his wet fingers to Castiel's ass, slips one inside, and Castiel is shouting, but he's riding it, and before Sam knows it, he's got three fingers inside him. Cass is saying Sam's name. He's gritting it out again and again and again, and Sam can't wait any longer. He pulls out his fingers and pushes himself in. Castiel stills, mouth opening and bracing himself on the wall, and Sam's... Fuck, Sam doesn't know where he's gone, but he's inside Cass. He's inside Cass. He's not giving Cass time to get used to him. He's pounding in hard and vicious. Sam's owning him as he thrusts in and out, and then turns his pace down torturously slow. Here's Castiel let out a whine in response. Sam pushes deep, pushes in every inch of himself to the hilt. He wraps his grip around Castiel's cock again and feels Cass tense and pivot with a soft cry. And it's too good to have him this entirely. God, it's too good. Castiel is muttering something, but Sam can't hear it. It's muddled with the thundering sound of his pulse in his ears, his own gasping breath, the shift of clothes and the wet sounds of skin on skin. But it sounds like he's crying or praying or both. And, oh, Sam wants to hear, because somewhere in there his name could be muttered with reverence, and he's already so close. God, that's really all it would take. Louder, Sam grates out, his hips stuttering. Say it louder. Cass is moving like he's finally figuring out how to take this, shifting his hips back and moaning low, tensing under Sam in a flutter of sensation, going suddenly silent as Sam thrusts. I want to hear you, Cass. I want to hear you. And Sam is close, so unbelievably close he's shaking, every word broken with it until he sounds like he's begging. With a sharp and hard push into him, Cass cries out and mutters louder than before, I didn't know. I swear I don't know. I want to be there, but I can't. I can't. I wish I was. I wish I was. It should feel like someone punched him in the chest. He knows this, but all he can feel is something like success, and he's starving for more. Almost. Why weren't you there, Cass? His hand is flying over Castiel now, and the sounds Cass makes are tortured and short with his words, cutting through the perversity of the scene with intimate purity. I'm sorry, Sam, he says. Sam, I'm sorry. Sam is pulsing hot into Cass with a shuddering shout as he comes, as he feels Castiel tense hard and strangle out a sobbing moan as he thrusts desperately into Sam's hand and spills over his fingers. Sam's still pivoting into Cass as they come down, pressing him into the wall and pinning him there with his cock, thinks of butterflies under glass and wings held fast in place, and somewhere in the back of his mind, the last thrust feels like a stab. Sam's mouth is on Castiel's neck again, Cass's pulse slowing under his lips. Sam notices a change in Cass's smell, too. There's actual musk in it. And once again, Sam is struck by how human Castiel seems to be. How odd and miraculous and horrible it all is. And then he pulls up his pants, and turns away. When he turns back around, he fully expects to find an empty room. Whatever just happened surely wasn't meant to, and if Castiel is good at one thing, it's leaving without much concern for explanation or sign. But there he is, by the wall, leaning against it with one arm. His trench coat is back on, but barely, and his face is flushed, bewildered. He looks like a man who'd just gotten mugged, and Sam tries to think of something to say. He doesn't want to apologize. He should say something, though. But any words in his head sound too close to asking forgiveness, and that he cannot do. He doesn't feel it, and for some reason he can't place, it's one lie he can't say out loud. They stand in the darkness facing one another, the smell of sex, sour and briny on the air, and this unknown burning atmosphere Castiel seems to put off in the silence, making the empty space feel electric. It feels like time slows in the thrum of it, and finally Sam pulls himself out of the suspended place enough to form words, to voice what's already there, what was there before all of this, what was in it the whole time. Why not me? It takes all of Sam's will to look up, because he knows he'll meet Castiel's eyes when he does. They shoot blue in the dark, ice through it all, and Sam sucks in his breath. There's so much there in that gaze. It holds and wavers and looks away with astonishment, and Sam can see it's not that their bond isn't profound to him, or that it is. It's that whatever it is, whatever is there, confuses the hell out of Cass. Sam lets out the breath he was holding, and Castiel's face changes. Sam watches Castiel tuck in his shirt and press his hands over his trench coat, watches Castiel's face smooth, and whatever was filling it with anxiety and confusion ease away to nothing. Just Cass. Just Castiel, in another man's body, in another man's clothes. Suddenly he's the unearthly presence Sam has known for years. The changed creature Sam had been inside moments before is gone, and seems like a dream of some brief metamorphosis, some moment where Cass was almost completely like a man. It baffles him almost just as much as knowing Cass cares. If you need assistance again, Castiel says, as Sam runs his hands through his own hair and lowers himself to sit on the edge of the bed, cursing my name isn't necessary. It's cool and calculated, but Sam hears the concern deep in the words. Sam nods, and when he looks up many minutes later, there's no one there to see him wish things were different.
Can run on.